Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And to find that, we'd go back to Genesis 12, and I'd invite you to, if you care to. I just have three verses there I'd like to read, and then we'll be back in Hebrews. But it says in Genesis 12, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." How many of you believe, and I know that we don't have record of it, but how many of you believe that Abraham was successful in his life up to this point? He was settled, wasn't he? Had a home. We don't know anything about it, but we know he lived there. Had a wife, right? Had a family, had his parents, had family. He didn't have children, we know, but he had family. And so he was settled in his life, and I would think pretty well satisfied. How many of you want to move at the age of 75? Not so much. I had a friend that moved, and his wife had passed away, and I think he was probably in his maybe around 75. And he moved, but he sold everything. All he took was his clothes and got a new place, a new furniture, and everything. He said, "I don't want to move anything except my clothes." Now, that might be an option, right? But Abraham had a life. And God said, "Abram, I want you to go somewhere else." And he didn't tell him where. He didn't tell him about it. He just said, "Look, if you'll obey me, I will make of thee a great nation. Of all the families of the earth will be blessed. And those that bless you will be blessed. Those that curse you will be cursed." And Abraham got his stuff and he left. And he started all over. He instructed him to leave everything. Why did he do it? Because God promised him a great life. God gave him a hope, an expectation, something to look forward to. But he had to leave the life he had to get the life God promised. Wow. See, it's not just with Abraham, is it? It's true for us too. And when God called us, when He washed our sins away, He forgave us, He made us His own, and He said, "I will give you a great life, but part of that is you've got to leave your life behind. You've got to leave the sin. You've got to leave all that behind. You've got to be ready to release everything. People, job, dwelling, whatever it is, you've got to be willing to leave everything." Now, God doesn't necessarily make us leave all those things. But we've got to be surrendered to the extent that we're willing to surrender everything. Jesus said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." And we have to understand that starting something new is not easy if we have our heart set on things we leave behind. Whenever we begin something new, our lives get small. Have you noticed that? They become very focused. We become very intent on the things that we're trying to do that are new. Our focus narrows. Our schedules tighten. Because we're working on a goal, we're working on a mission, we've got a project, we're pursuing something. And so everything else has to go to the wayside because we're doing this now. Think about it. When you were in kindergarten, on the last day of kindergarten, you had mastered kindergarten, hadn't you? Man, you're good at it. Boy, you could get up and go to school and take a nap and go to the playground, color, maybe even finger paint. You were good at it. And what'd they do? They made you go to first grade. And when you got to first grade, all of a sudden, that mastery that you had when you left in May, when you came back in August, you didn't have that mastery anymore, did you? Had to start all over at the bottom, all the way through grade school. And by the time you got to middle school, man, you mastered middle school, and what'd they do? They put you in junior high. And then what happened? You were an eighth grader, and boy, you were big and bad, big man on campus. And then what happened? They put you as a freshman, and you were at the bottom again. Just when you got good at what you were doing, they moved you to another level. And then think about your senior year of high school. Boy, you were running the campus. The whole class. It was all about that class because they were the graduates that year. And you had mastered school. And then they kicked you out. Put a cap and gown on you and told you, go away. And for some, that meant going into the military. Starting at the bottom, would you say? The bottom. They even took your hair. Took your hair and gave you a comb. Hey, that's government for you, right? And you started at the bottom. For some, it was college. You had mastered school. And then they took you and they put you in a bigger setting. And you're at the bottom again. Just when you excelled, just when you accomplished, just when you were at the height of that experience, it was over. And then in college, you graduated again to a career. And I know what the people told you at college, but when you graduated, they didn't make you the president of the company, did they? Again, starting over. Why? You didn't have to. You could have stayed in high school. Could have stayed in elementary school. Could have stayed in college. I know people who have an entry-level job and they leave school and they go into an entry-level job and they never move. They ride it out. And they're satisfied with that. Not saying they never complain, but that's their goal. They just want that job. They got a job. But if you ever decide to go to the next level or to change careers or to go to a new company, there you are starting over again. Why? For something better. But in order to get something better, you've got to leave the past behind. In order to get something better, you've got to leave what you're comfortable with. What's easy? What's become easy to you? Because you've been doing it. And then you go from single life to marriage. That's all I'll say about that. You got it figured out, right? How many of you knew what marriage was going to be about? And then you got married and realized you were at the bottom. You were at the bottom again. And it's tongue-in-cheek, and you understand that's humor, but we had this idea of what marriage would be, and marriage is completely different than what we probably thought it was going to be. And then, just when you had marriage figured out as much as you could, what did you do? Had a baby. And you talk about dumb. We don't know how to do that till we have one, do we? And I know some of you raise siblings, and so you're familiar with it, but the point is that we get good at one thing, and then we take on something else, and we realize we've started over. And it's hard. And then you get promoted in your job so many times where we begin again. Think about the head coach job at FSU. And these coaches have done well where they were in that league and that school and that program. And then they come to a program like this, or Georgia, or FSU, or Florida, where all in these big schools. You got to work your way up to get that job. And then you get that job, and if you're not the best on day one and you don't have the best program and the best players on day one, they want you out. What have you done? You started over. Look, they were accomplished where they came from. And again, I'm not talking about anyone in particular. But then they wanted something bigger. They had a hope. They had something better in mind. And then they get there, and we have to understand they're starting over. And you think about the players who were the best of the best in their high school and in their region and in their class. And that's how they get to this school. And then they come here, and they don't get to play yet. And they wait. Maybe they get discouraged, disappointed. Maybe they transfer out to some smaller school because they wanted more playing time. But the point is, starting over is never easy. But there's a reason to it. There's a process. There's a promise. God said to Abraham, I want you to leave. I want to give you something big, but it's not here. It's over there, which means you've got to leave here to get it. Think of the potter as he makes a pot and then he examines it afterwards and realizes it's not what he wanted. And what does he have to do? He crushes it, grinds at the powder, starts all over again. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to make something great, but you've got to start at the bottom. He left in tents, they traveled. Verse number 9, he sojourned in the land of promise. We're in Hebrews 11, verse 9. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that means tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, of the same promise. He had hope. He had faith. He was committed to discover what God had prepared for him. Look at verse 10. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Imagine what's in his mind when he leaves home, goes a little ways. Remember, he stayed. His dad passes away. He moves on further. He's looking for this place that God promised. There was only one problem with it. It wasn't built yet. The idea of this empire that Abraham would have, all of these blessings that God would give him, were not there yet. But they would come because that was God's promise. It was not something which he would just run across. It was something he would build. It was something that God would build through him. But there was a process. He was committed to discover what God had prepared. Guys, when we get saved, if we keep going back and keep going back, we're never going to get where we need to be. If we keep hanging on to that stuff, we're never going to get as far as God wants us. Abraham, I want you to leave everything behind. Well, I just want to take this. I just want to take this, and I need that. And before you know it, he had to have a U-Haul. But they didn't have U-Hauls. They had camel hauls. So what did he do? He left it all. I'm sure he took some stuff. But the point was, God's promised me something down there. Why do I need this? God told me to leave all this and go, and he would show me. Look at verse 15, if you will. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I think of Egypt when the Hebrews were leaving. And there were some in the crowd that kept bringing that up. Guys, we know the way we can go back. We remember how to go back. We if we'd have stayed there, we could have had all these vegetables, the onions and the melons and all the great stuff in Egypt. Y'all remember what they did when they were there? They complained. Now, some people are going to complain no matter what. We can't always solve their complaints and their miseries because misery develops inside. And so we just have to let them complain. If Abraham had been mindful to go back, to give up, to quit, he could have. If he was still hanging on to that stuff. I think of the Bassetts when they went back to Fort Hood. They came back and they said, we couldn't find it. They moved the whole town. What happened? They built up around it. We went on vacation a few years ago, you probably recall, to the Alamo. We got there and Ben looked at it and he said, I thought it was going to be in a desert. What happened? San Antonio built up around it. I wouldn't want to mention this, but I'll just say I've been back to Pahokee. It's not the way it used to be. That's the point, is we can't go back. If we want what God has promised us, we've got to let go of what's behind us. We've got to stop looking back and saying, but remember when and remember how and wasn't it great? Nothing wrong with reminiscing. But we can't live there. We've got to live here and now. Change is uncomfortable. Waiting is frustrating. Starting over is difficult. But it's necessary if we want God's best. If we want what's better. If that's what God has called us to do. Then we must go and leave the past behind. Look at what he says in verse 16, and we'll finish with this. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. You know, we talk about Abraham coming out of Haran and going to this new land and maybe in his mind imagining this city. But the truth was his heart was not set on that city, but on the eventual city, on heaven. That's where his heart was. That's where his desire was. On the eternal, on that heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. Look at what it says. They desire a better country. When we keep going back and keep going back and keep going back, we surrender all that God has promised. Because part of His plan is not for us to keep going back. Abraham never went back. Because it wasn't part of God's plan. His plan was something new and fresh and better. Let's stand. Fathers, we consider what You have promised us. We do have our mind on the heavenly. We have our heart set on continuing in hope in the promises, in obedience, to not be swayed by frustration of waiting, impatience, or a lack of vision, or lack of tangibility. God, we want what You have for us, and that means we've got to keep going toward You and toward those things You've called us to do. Keep us active in Your work. Forgive our sins and make us useful. Dismiss us now with Your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.